It's all going to zero against Bitcoin.
It's going up forever, Warren.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
Welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, our number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, cover breaking news, culture, hermetic warfare. We'll be your guide through the separation of money and state. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm streaming live from Montreal, Canada. We're a couple days out from the Canadian Bitcoin Conference, which we're going to be live streaming for you guys. So many incredible Bitcoiners going to be giving panels, giving speeches. We're going to have the news desks as well. So you guys know the deal when we're on the go. We still like to keep the show live for you guys, keep you guys entertained. Filling in for Opti today while he's traveling with Chris Alamo in the house. How you doing, Chris? I think this is the first show that we've done me and you together. So, man, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, man. Happy to be here. Yeah, and I think this is the first one with you, me, and without Opti. So, you know, all hell's going to break loose.
For sure, for sure. Guys, we have a lot to talk about today. It seems like, and it's crazy because when I was making the title for this episode, price still didn't pump yet. But there was news coming out that essentially we're seeing a record $133 million worth of inflows into ARK's Bitcoin ETF. This is the highest ever since March. So it seems like things are starting to pick up again. And I remember when I was crafting this tweet, crafting this title, it was like 9 a.m., like very, very early morning. And, you know, fast forward a couple hours later, we pumped all the way to $65,000. So could we be back? Did we have a little blip and things are just going to start heating up again? Well, maybe, perhaps. So it seems like the ETF flows again have turned green, which I think is obviously a good thing. This includes the ARK Invest. This includes the BlackRock ETF as well. However, what I will say is that they are not nearly as high as where they were in the beginning of the year when they initially launched. So I still think we have so much, bullish news, so much upside left. And that's just because of what has happened really in the last month or two. We found out, like I was saying on yesterday's episode, that the state of Wisconsin bought $100 million worth of the BlackRock Spot Bitcoin ETF. And then we also found out that Wells Fargo, the third largest bank in the United States, this French bank called Paribas, the second largest bank in Europe, all bought exposure to the BlackRock Spot Bitcoin ETF. So they're buying indirect exposure to Bitcoin. And I think the floodgates are going to completely open as more and more people realize that the Bitcoin strategy is a superior strategy and that they're at a competitive disadvantage to anyone else that has adopted some type of Bitcoin strategy, some type of Bitcoin exposure. Anyone who doesn't do that is going to be at a competitive disadvantage. So we're going to cover all of that today. And then also breaking news as well on the nation state level. This is insane. By the way, back in 2021, when we hit that peak of what was it, like 69K or something, or 68K, none of these things were true. So the Wells Fargo thing wasn't true. The Wisconsin State Investment Fund, that didn't happen yet. But also on the nation state level, you have multiple countries, including Argentina, the Kingdom of Bhutan, and the recently announced how much El Salvador has been mining over the last couple of years. That was announced, I think it was yesterday. We're going to talk about that today. So you're seeing nation state, not only nation state Bitcoin adoption, El Salvador making Bitcoin legal tender, but you have multiple nation states around the world mining Bitcoin directly, right? Or using companies to mine Bitcoin for them, which I find absolutely fascinating, but at the same time, not surprising, because if you understand Bitcoin's incentives, none of this should come as a surprise to you. All right. Also, no more delay. We have a very special guest, which I saw in Texas at BitBlock Boom. We have Petro in the house, bro. How you doing? Dude, I'm excited to talk to you about all these countries you know, trying to mine Bitcoin. Some are using, you know, some are using natural gas. Some are using hydro. In the case of El Salvador, I know they're trying to use the geothermal energy from volcanoes. So I'm excited to talk to you about that as well. And then also, I'm excited to talk about all the projects that you're working on, right? So for anyone who doesn't know, Petro, like he turns gas into Bitcoin. He helps companies do that. You know, he's your man on the ground with all that expertise in the oil and gas industry, and he can help you if you want to get in Bitcoin. So Petro, thank you for joining us on the show today, man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you for having me and giving me the space to talk about my work on both the oil and gas front and the Bitcoin front.
So quick question before we jump into the show. Do you see more interest? So, you know, we have to see what the headlines are saying, and then that's where we get our information from. But could you give us a little bit of like, you know, some inside baseball, so to speak, without naming any names? Do you see more interest from the oil and gas industry, and specifically as it relates to Bitcoin?
Post ETF, absolutely. I mean, it's a different world. Is it Larry Fink saying something, and then, you know, that is interpreted as legacy signal? So it's if it's good for Larry, it's good for us. Maybe it's probably more likely that you know it's financializing, and they're taking that on as a signal of something that is a real reason to be interested. Now, an oil and gas company in reality is going to listen to this because we're talking about a producer, right? The guy that's making the oil and the gas, the guy that owns the well. He's not getting paid what the market rate that you see. So if today the market is, you know, $2.30 or whatever, then yeah, he's not going to get that. He's going to get some deduction off of that. Bitcoin mining allows him to realize 100% of that. In the state of Texas, there's a tax severance benefit to this. And the price is somewhere between, let's say, $5 all the way up to as much as $15 in MCF versus a top end of $2.30 minus deductions.
Yeah. Man, well, dude, I'm excited to dive more into that, get into the details of that, and you can explain it to everybody. Look, from just a common sense perspective, from my, you know, because I don't have that experience that you do, Petro. What I will say is that I think energy and Bitcoin are a match made in heaven. I think, you know, one goes with the other, right? So I think it's inevitable that you're going to see oil and gas companies and countries initially go down this rabbit hole of, you know, finding out how to use Bitcoin to benefit themselves and in the process securing the network, right? And that's the beauty of an aligned incentive structure like Bitcoin, aligned incentive structure system like Bitcoin. Anyways, before we get to the numbers, I do want to give a very special shout out to the Bitcoin company that powers the show. And of course, I'm talking about Bitcoin Well. Bitcoin Well is the best place to build your automatic self-custody Bitcoin stack. It's a self-custody by default platform, which means that you have to take self-custody if you're going to buy Bitcoin on Bitcoin Well, which perfectly aligns with the Simply Bitcoin ethos of the separation of money and state. Future-proof your money today. Visit bitcoinwell.com/simply to get started. The website is incredibly easy to use. All you got to go, like I said, you got to go to bitcoinwell.com, buy real Bitcoin, put in your email address to get started. It's a transparent industry standard 1% spread. Obviously, it's Bitcoin only, and it's a non-custodial platform. As the fight for self-custody continues to ramp up, using non-custodial platforms is incredibly important, especially if you care about the separation of money and state, because again, like I said, self-custody is the revolution. Check out bitcoinwell.com/simply today. All right, everybody, let's hit the numbers.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Is your Bitcoin in cold storage really secure? Is your seed phrase really secure. Stampseed's do-it-yourself kit has everything you need to hammer your seed words into commercial-grade titanium plates instead of just writing them on paper. Don't store your generational wealth on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fire damage. You want to put your generational wealth on one of the strongest metals on planet Earth, titanium. Your words are actually stamped into this metal plate with this hammer and these letter stamps. And once your words are in, they aren't going anywhere. No risk of the plate breaking apart and pieces falling everywhere. Titanium stamped seeds will survive nearly triple the heat produced by a house fire. They're also crush-proof, waterproof, non-corrosive, and time-proof. All things that paper is not, allowing you to hodl your Bitcoin with peace of mind for the long haul. Stamp your seed on Stampseed. Everybody, I made it easy for you guys, like always. You can scan the QR code or check the link in the video description. So you can go just directly to Stampseed and you can get yourself a titanium Stampseed storage kit. So you don't have to explain to your grandchildren decades from now why you lost your Bitcoin because you decided for whatever reason to write down your seed words on paper. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in that position. And if you do put yourself in that position, you can't say I didn't warn you. Get yourself a Stampseed seed phrase storage kit. This is generational wealth after all. Promo code simply get 15% off anything on the website. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 64,900. Block height, 843,585. Sats per dollar, 1,541. Market cap, 1.28 trillion. Bitcoin price and gold, 27.4 ounces. Bitcoin versus gold market cap, 7.85%. Percentage issued, 93.8%. Decline from all-time high, 12.1%. Forward monetary inflation, 0.85%. Realized monetary inflation, 1.67%. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is just getting started. All right, everybody, I do want to cover like this trend that is happening worldwide. It's incredibly, absolutely bullish. Also, shout out to fellow Bitcoiner Javier Bastardo. Anyways, the headline articles comes from Forbes. It says Argentina will mine Bitcoin with stranded gas thanks to GDA. A little bit of context before I move on. Bitcoin mining operations are expanding around the world. Despite being one of the most competitive industries, hash rate keeps growing, and so do the global operations to execute this important activity for the Bitcoin network. Genesis Digital Assets Limited, one of the largest Bitcoin mining companies in the world, is part of this announcement. GDA announced an important agreement with the YPF, Luz, a subsidiary of the largest electricity company from Argentina, YPF, to open a new Bitcoin mining facility that will operate using stranded gas. Anyways, moving on to the other thing I noticed. Here we have the Kingdom of Bhutan. Now, what's really interesting about this news, we've covered this headline many times on this show throughout the years, but essentially, or throughout last year, better said, the Kingdom of Bhutan has been quietly mining Bitcoin for years. Now, here's the thing. We wouldn't have found out about this because they didn't make this public. It was only via the Celsius bankruptcy that kind of exposed that Bhutan had some type of association with Bitcoin mining, but they weren't really vocal about this, which is interesting because that makes me ask the question, what other countries are mining Bitcoin? They're just not telling anyone about it, right? They just don't want the negative press. They don't want the attention. So we have Argentina. We have the Kingdom of Bhutan, even though the Kingdom of Bhutan, I believe their government is a lot more involved. They partnered up with Bitdeer. And now you have El Salvador announcing how much Bitcoin that they've been able to mine the last 3 years. This is a Reuters article. It goes on to say El Salvador has mined nearly 474 Bitcoin since 2021, thanks to a volcano-fueled geothermal power plant. Official data showed on Tuesday, bringing the government's total Bitcoin portfolio to nearly $354 million at current prices. The country's Bitcoin office and official government entity reports that the government coffers now hold 5,750 Bitcoin. Also, if you take a look at the hash rate, it continues to make all-time highs, even after having, it seems like there's been a bit of a slowdown, maybe you can make that argument. Yeah, it seems like it. But I mean, I guess you could say that would be normal because the halving just happened. But yeah, I mean, like the halving is, I mean, the hash rate is, you know, it's undeniable. Like even after the infamous China ban, hash rate dropped like 50%. I think it took down the price with it. I believe that's one of the reasons we didn't hit 100K last cycle. But it recovered in record time, decentralizing in the process. Within 9 months, the hash rate recovered and now it's just gone absolutely parabolic with, which I think is a testament of the amount of smart money, institutional money, like, look, it requires a lot of money to mine Bitcoin these days, right? You have to invest in the infrastructure. It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's like a super long-term investment, but it is somewhat of a long-term investment that I don't think you would make unless you felt very optimistic about Bitcoin's future, right? So anyways, I'm going to start it off with BitBet since you're from this industry. I'm sure you know a lot more than we do in regards to this certain topic. So what's your take on all this? You see these very different countries, very far apart, and they all have one thing in common, which is that they want to mine Bitcoin. So is this a trend that we're going to continue to see? What's your take on this?
Yeah, cheap electricity is going to give you Bitcoin miners because that's what they're drawn to, right? So if there is any access anywhere, particularly in Argentina, you're going to see the Vaca Muerta because it's a very gassy field. Gas is hard to get to market. Takes a lot of money to build a pipeline to get that natural gas to the market. Bitcoin allows for that gas to basically have optionality where the turbine or the internal combustion engine can be dropped on site. You can generate power there, and that power can either power local infrastructure that you need to further expand operations, or Bitcoin mining and subsidize those operations. So, on one end of the spectrum, right? On another end of the spectrum, you're going to have hydro, right? Like excess hydro. So I think Iguazu just sold an additional 100 or 200 megawatts out for mining. So this is just going to be anywhere we have excess. So naturally, a lot of the early stuff was the geothermal stuff in the Nordic countries. We saw a lot of that early on. Those are very geographically, you know, isolated, although we're seeing, you know, countries like El Salvador attempt to access those resources.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Before we continue, I do want to give a shout out to Marin. Marin, thank you for the 60 euros. Appreciate it. I guess we're back. I mean, bro, we never left, but I appreciate the support of the channel. If you're referring to Opti, Opti is currently in the air right now at 35,000 feet on the way to Montreal for the Canadian Bitcoin Conference. I got in here late last night so that we can not skip a beat and do the show for you guys. Chris, what's your take on all this, bro? This is incredibly bullish stuff. And again, it's not surprising. I can't emphasize that enough. This is not surprising if you understand Bitcoin's incentives. I'll say this. It's not surprising, but it's still surprising to see it for the first time. Right. Like, you knew this was going to happen. You knew that countries are going to be interested in mining Bitcoin, but it's kind of like when we all knew that a country was going to make Bitcoin legal tender, but it still surprised us nonetheless when it happened the way that it happened. Right. And another thing, also another observation that I'll make is that this is all happening a lot quicker than we all anticipated. Right. So, which I think is pretty crazy. Anyways, before I pass it on to you, I want to tell everybody in the audience, guys, smash the like button. Help us break 100 likes within the first hour. We're currently at 93 likes on YouTube. Smash the like button if you're watching us on Rumble and on X as well, right? Spread that orange signal forward. Anyways, Chris, what's your take on this, brother?
I was just going to say Opti's being held up by custom agents at the Canadian border right now, probably.
Don't say that.
He's too based. No, I think the best way to think about this is to zoom out. So what I mean by that is obviously we saw after the 2008 financial crisis, basically the U.S. federal government or the U.S. Fed, Federal Reserve, said that they were basically devalue bondholders. Who were the largest bondholders in 2008? The Chinese. basically after the tailwind of that in 2011, 2012, the Chinese were not happy that basically the US printed a lot of money, they bailed out banks, and they bailed out their banker friends. And by doing so, they devalued the Chinese bonds. And the Chinese were, you know, had I quite literally think trillions of dollars of US bonds. And, you know, basically the US government and the US Federal Reserve flipped off their fingers to China. And China was like, well, we're no longer going to buy treasuries. So, you know, they kind of need to see demand for US treasuries elsewhere because we're the global reserve currency and the treasuries are the global reserve asset. So when you lose the demand in treasuries, you know, you kind of lose a peg or a peg of the stool for keeping up this fiat Ponzi. You know, fast forward a little bit further to 2022, and we see that the US government seized Russian oligarchs and Putin's assets to the tune of hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in treasuries. So one, you're losing people that are buying your treasuries, like the Chinese, because you fucked them over by printing money. And then you're telling the world that, hey, if you buy these treasuries from us, like Russia was doing or had, we can seize them from you. So why would you want to have a money or and or an asset associated with that, with treasuries and US dollars, that the US government can seize? They can cut you off from the Swiss system. They can take over your assets. So like Bitcoin is this neutral money that the world can settle in, and it's a better money. Not only is it unconfiscatable, obviously the properties that we know, like, you know, having your own wealth in your own head with, you know, 12 or 24 words, but in the way that you can transact without having people steal your wealth, either through printing of money or literally confiscation of assets through the banking system. So it was only a matter of time before we saw El Salvador, you know, adopt Bitcoin as a country. We saw MicroStrategy adopted as a treasury reserve asset for the for their corporation. And then kind of leading into the next story, not burying the lead, but kind of bringing it up, like now pensions are getting into it. Like Everyone's trying to escape the debasement and the theft of quite literally either physical theft through taking your assets of the treasuries or theft of printing of money. So it's just a better, like it makes a better world. It aligns incentives. You know, Bitcoin is for adversaries. So even if you're Russia and the US and China and you all kind of don't really like each other, you can use this as a settlement of money where everyone is trying to like, everyone was trying to game the system, and it's a fair and equal level playing field. So I think, you know, the kind of the losers of the world are the net consumers of the world. I hate to say that, you know, Nico, you and I are, and Bia Petra, we're Americans or based in the US, I'm assuming, that basically we are net consumers relative to the world. So the US and Europe are kind of net consumers, where China, Russia, and a lot of other countries in South America are net producers. So this is kind of only a good thing that, you know, Bitcoin layer levels the playing field. And it's going to be, I hate to say this, but it's going to be painful for many Americans that aren't on a Bitcoin standard, like what it means with not only their currency being debased, but in terms of being net consumers and not net producers to the world.
100%. And they're the country that has most benefited from that monopoly, right? So yeah, I think that if you don't transition to a Bitcoin standard, and if you live in the United States, you know, you could potentially find yourself not in a good place. Because look, the moment that the U.S. Loses its global reserve currency status, and a lot of countries, like what Chris was alluding to or referencing to, you know, a lot of countries are seeking an alternative. Like the treasuries aren't doing so hot right now. Like people don't have faith. Countries don't have faith. Institutional investors don't have faith in the U.S. government the way that they used to have. And with the current fiscal spending, the way that the U.S. government is spending like there's no tomorrow, it really doesn't, people don't have the confidence in the dollar that they used to have. Now, that's not to say that this is going to happen tomorrow, but I would, you know, like the next 10 years, like if you don't have any type of exposure to Bitcoin, you could potentially find yourself in, you know, in a precarious situation, to say the least. And yeah, I think everyone's just trying to, you know, I think people are realizing that they're sitting on melting ice cubes. I really do believe that. And I do believe that the world is going through a slow awakening process. And shout out to Michael Saylor for really being the vanguard of that. And I'm sure other public companies will follow. And also shout out to Nayib Bukele as well for being, you know, the vanguard on the nation state level. So incredibly bullish news after all, but good news if you're a Bitcoiner, especially if you have it in self-custody. Anyways, before we move on to the next block, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor. And of course, I am talking about Anders Pleb Party. It's going to be in It's going to be in Nashville, 2024. If you're already going to the Bitcoin 2024 conference in Nashville, you definitely don't want to miss the pleb party. There's 50 tickets left at the $200 price. After that, they'll be completely gone. You're going to have to pay more money, or even worse, they'll be completely sold out. This is an all-inclusive 12-hour open bar from noon to midnight. Pleb party in Nashville the day before the Bitcoin conference, Thursday, July 25th. The last pleb party completely sold out. So you want to get your tickets quickly before they're gone. Confirmed attendees include Larry Lepard, Preston Pish, the entire Simply Bitcoin crew, James Lavish, Robert Breedlove, Mark Moss, Pubby, Tatum Turnup. It's going to be hosted at an amazing rustic automobile factory from 1910 with brick walls and tons of proof of work atmosphere. You don't want to miss the premier Bitcoin party of the year, the Bitcoin Pleb Party. You can scan the QR code on your screen or check the link in the video description, and I'll see you guys in Nashville July 25th. All right, everybody, let's move on to the news. Lots to talk about.
The Daily News.
I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Foundation Devices. It's self-custody done right. They built a premium-grade hardware wallet called Passport right here in the US. It's fully open source and verifiable. It's the most intuitive Bitcoin wallet designed with a UX reminiscent of a simple feature phone. So you will know how to navigate it and use it the moment you pick it up. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own hands in just a few minutes. Experience the peace of mind that comes with taking ownership of your own keys. After a massive sellout during Bitcoin Miami 2023, the Passport is back in stock at foundationdevices.com. Bitcoin only, open source verifiable, completely air gap security model, gorgeous design craft, premium grade materials. If you're thinking about getting your Bitcoin off exchanges, this is the one for you. Check out the Passport link in the show notes below to learn more. All right, guys, once again, I made it incredibly easy for you guys. Scan the QR code on your screen or check the link in the video description and get yourself a Passport by Foundation Devices hardware wallet. Remember, guys, not your keys, not your cheese. You want to take self-custody. Self-custody is the revolution. And the Passport by Foundation Devices makes it incredibly easy to use your self-custody Bitcoin, your cold storage Bitcoin, especially if you pair it up with the Envoy app and you use that with your Passport. It's so easy to sign Bitcoin transactions completely in cold storage. This thing, even if you plug in the USB-C cable, that's only for power. That's only for charging. That's a non-data cable. So this thing is literally the definition of air-gapped. Doesn't even touch your device. You either have to use the SD card or you can use the little camera on the back and you can scan a QR code. It's really neat. Highly recommend it. Like I said, check out the Passport by Foundation Devices today. All right, everybody. So the big news for today, the big kahuna, and then this news dropped at 6:34. So shout out to Nick Hoffman, because damn, boy, 6:30 in the morning, you're up dropping hot fire. But yeah, it's just interesting because this news dropped, and then guess what happened a couple hours later? The Bitcoin price went bananas and we pumped all the way to 65K. Also, in other news as well, it seems like the inflation numbers came back a little bit lower than everyone was anticipating, which gets everyone's hopes up for the Fed to finally lower rates. And then, you know, the money printer go burr again. And, you know, that tends to make the prices of assets go through the effing roof. So let's check out this tweet by Bitcoin Magazine. ARK's Bitcoin ETF recorded $133 million in inflows, the highest ever since March. We are back. Keep in mind, again, this dropped at 6:30 and the price, I think it started pumping at 11. So Nick, do you know something we don't? That's a very interesting observation. Here is this great graphic that kind of, it shows how much Bitcoin these ETFs, these asset managers are buying. And it's a ridiculous amount. You know, currently, I think the last number I saw was BlackRock holds 274,000. That's more than Michael Saylor's MicroStrategy. They've been doing this for years now. And of course, we have Kathy Woods ARK Invest with 153,000. Those seem to
that
be,
was Fidelity's.
That was Fidelity.
They're at like 40K.
Kathy Wood is at 40. You're right. Apologize. Sorry about that, guys. And then the Bitwise, we're at 34,111. Anyways, but it seems like there's clear leaders, which is the BlackRock, Fidelity, and the ARK Invest. But still, dude, 43,000 Bitcoin is no small feat. Here is more data. Shout out to Bitcoin Treasuries that has been accumulating this. And it shows you what the ETF flows have been. As you can see, in the very, very early days, they've been absolutely crazy. They've gone absolutely bananas, right? You know, sometimes stacking 2,000 Bitcoin in one day. But, you know, things started to slow down, specifically in April, right? We had 1,300 Bitcoin in outflows. In the very beginning of May, we had 1,694. But so far, May has picked up. You know, it's just been green so far. So, I mean, things seem to be heading in the right direction. I think the price reflects that. I think people are feeling a little bit optimistic in terms of the recent inflation data that came in. But the thing that I'm really paying attention to, and I can't emphasize this enough, is this. And we covered this yesterday. I'll get to why this is so bullish. But the state of Wisconsin, $100 million worth of BlackRock spot Bitcoin ETF. And then the dominoes will start to fall as they realize that adding Bitcoin to their portfolio, adding exposure to Bitcoin to the portfolio is not a choice. It's a necessity. And anyone who doesn't follow in their footsteps, it is at a competitive disadvantage. Here's James Lavish, and he says, it starts with a leg in trade of 0.1 to 0.5% as they do their research. Then it becomes a small position of 2 to 5% as they begin to understand it. Then with full understanding and realization of perpetual negative real rates of on treasuries, it becomes a full allocation of 10% plus. And here's Michael Saylor. I'm assuming he's reacting to the Wisconsin news. And he says, there are thousands of pension funds in the United States managing $27 trillion in assets. They're all going to need some Bitcoin. This has already happened, right? Before we were speculating that this is going to happen. We were looking at Bitcoin's game theory, but nothing of this size, right? Now you have America's third largest bank. Now you have Europe's second largest bank. I believe also UBS, the Switzerland's second largest bank or first. I don't know which one it is. They also announced that they have exposure to the BlackRock Bitcoin ETF. And then to kind of put the cherry on top, we are on track to hit Kathy Wood's prediction of $1.5 million Bitcoin by 2030. The base case is 682,000. I think we're going to blow past the bear case. I think the bear case is just that. It's the bear case, which is $258,000 per Bitcoin. But part of this case, like, she didn't just pull these numbers out randomly. She was making a case as to what needs to happen in order for those numbers to be hit, right? And there's percentages, right? So for institutional investment, for Bitcoin to hit that level, that price target, there needs to be roughly a 2.5% penetration rate. And I think we're more than on track to hit those levels. I think we're gonna blow past them. Corporate treasury, I also believe, like, we're more than on track to hit that 2.5% base, right? So I think we're definitely on track, man, to hit these crazy, crazy numbers that Kathy Wood, which is ARK Invest, I might add, to, you know, potentially hit these price targets by 2030, just due to the institutional interest now. Like, where's this thing gonna be, you know, 2-3 years from now? What companies, what's the next Fortune 500 company that's going to follow in the footsteps of Michael Saylor? Because they're realizing, holy cow, you know, Michael Saylor is kicking everyone's ass, and all he's done is adopt a Bitcoin strategy. Like, I think it's not a question of will they adopt a Bitcoin strategy. It's a question of when they will adopt a Bitcoin strategy, because if not, dude, they're at a severe disadvantage to anyone who does. So So I'm going to start it off with Chris first, and then we'll move it on to BitPetro.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is huge news. Just huge shout out to Dom Bay, Hafa Zaguri, Joe Carlissari, and Greg Foss. So they've been doing the Nakamoto Portfolio Gauntlet. They've done three episodes.
I produced that episode where they were dropping that.
And so shout out to Nico. Yeah.
I was in the background when they were doing that episode. And like, guys, I do a lot of content. So no, most of the time I tune out. But I would this entire episode I was producing in the background, I was like, holy cow. This is absolute signal. And I don't, is it a coincidence that Alpha Zeta, Hafa, and Dom Bay were talking to them? And then all of a sudden, you know, they just did this 180. I don't think that's a coincidence at all, man. So, anyways. Yeah.
No, so shouts out to them. So they did an episode called the Nakamoto Portfolio Gauntlet. It's up on Swan's YouTube channel. Basically, they've done three episodes talking to various pension managers or fund managers about incorporating Bitcoin onto their balance sheet. Many times, these fund managers agree to come on the show because they know Bitcoin or they like Bitcoin. But it's kind of very different being personally for Bitcoin and then being for it with a fund, whether it's a hedge fund or whatever. Obviously, we're turning, as Nico always says, we're winning over hearts and minds. So I think that a lot of people are waking up to the idea of having Bitcoin as an asset or as a bucket of assets. You know, you don't have to be as cypherpunk and crazy as Nico, BitPetro, and I, like all into Bitcoin, all in cold storage. You know, you don't need anything else. But basically, they talked to him like 8 or 9 months ago. And basically, we saw that Wisconsin obviously put this asset allocation of Bitcoin on their balance sheet. They made the investment, I think, in January or February. So they don't have to report until the quarter ends. So we're only finding out about this news now because of quarterly reporting requirements. But basically, they made this investment, and we're now just seeing it months later because of like the rolling of the announcement requirements. The one thing that I wanted to say is, not burying the lead, but so they have the guests on. They normally talk to them for half an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. And then the last 15 minutes or so, they have the guests leave. And then basically they can talk among Dom, Hafa, Joe, and Greg about like what they would recommend. So they don't put them in pressure to be like, hey, this is what you should do or what you have to do. But basically they gave three cases. They gave a 1% allocation, a 2%, and a 5% allocation. They recommended the 2%. It's kind of in between being bearish or like more ultra conservative and ultra aggressive. Had they done the 2% allocation instead of just the 1/10 of a percentage point, they would have made $4 billion in just that investment alone. Obviously, you know, any investment into Bitcoin is better than no investment. And they're one of not only just a top five pension fund in the United States, they're almost fully funded. They're at 99% funded pension, which is unheard of in the pension space. Dom Bay always brings up, if you're at 40% funded, basically that means you're going to go bankrupt. It's kind of like you have to pay out people that are currently retired and you don't have enough money to keep on water. Normally 80% is good, 70% is in danger. But anyway, like at 99% is like, doesn't get much better than that. If they're overfunded, they have to sell other assets to bring their allocations down to 100. So giving you guys the lay of land of the pension fund world, talking with Dom Bay all the time. But yeah, no, I think this is incredibly bullish. And also the great thing is they're a top 10 pension fund in the world, and they're succeeding, and they're increasing their success by adding Bitcoin to it. So if you don't think this is turning heads at CalPERS, you know, the California pension fund, the largest pension fund in arguably the world, definitely in the United States. So I think like people are waking up to the idea of like, oh crap, like this is real, and we don't want to be the last pension fund to get on board. So I think a lot of people are talking, or a lot of pension funds are talking behind the scenes, like this is something we need to seriously look at, and we may need to make an investment sooner rather than later. So I'll just leave it at that, Nico.
No, beautifully said. We do have a Bitcoiner in the chat. Z Logic says, wait, here we go. Where is it?
Oh, he just said, have they the ETFs published their proof of reserves, which only to my knowledge, I think Bitwise is the only one that's published their address. All the other ones haven't. They've obviously said the shares they have, but I don't know if that was the question that you were asking.
Yeah, I was looking for someone. Anyway, someone else said that's not actual, you know, real Bitcoin exposure. I completely lost a comment.
It's because it's in the ETFs, so they're not holding their own keys.
Yeah, 100%. So that's a really good point. But what I would say, here it is Zlogic. There we go. Is an ETF really an investment to Bitcoin? Well, no. buying spot Bitcoin and taking Bitcoin into self-custody is the investment. However, what I will say is that some institutions, by law, they can't do that, right? That's not so much their fault. That's just like how the law works. in some jurisdictions. And then what I will say on another, you know, on another perspective is that I think all roads lead to Bitcoin. I think eventually you dip your toes into the ETF. I think eventually, especially if you're an individual, you know, and you're buying the Bitcoin ETF, there's absolutely no reason why you should be doing that. I understand if you're a large institution and the custody aspect starts to freak you out a little bit, especially if you don't have the technical know-how or if you're legally obliged to do that. But if you're an individual, if you're a wealthier individual, you know, especially like one of the older generations, there is absolutely no reason as to why you shouldn't be buying spot Bitcoin and taking it into self-custody. If you can send a wire transfer, if you can cook yourself a steak or make scrambled eggs, you can 1,000,000% take Bitcoin into self-custody. It's not that crazy. Anyways, BitPedro, what's your take on all this, brother?
Well, look, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm pretty proud to live in the city of Fort Worth, I got to tell you. Mayor Maddie Parker, it also, shout out to her. She's a first. She was the first mayor to raise her hand and say, look, our municipality is going to mine Bitcoin. And to your point, they were not allowed to keep their mine Bitcoin. They were not allowed to custody Bitcoin. They have to custody legal tender. And so they had to sell their Bitcoin and essentially make a profit and stick a very symbolic flag in the sand as a municipality adopting Bitcoin, but yet not being able to fully custody the asset. Adoption is this long road, and we're going to get everything from a city state all the way up to, you know, nation states. The question, you know, as we progress through these steps of adoption, I like to say it's much like real estate. You know, an individual's a house, you know, then you got a hotel, then you got a casino. At some point, you know, we're reaching things that look like actual counties and states in size, as far as like the numbers and the zeros, when we're trying to explain relative size of something. And so when we enter into pension funds and foreign wealth funds, we're very, very close to G8 country size funds. And when we get to the G8s, then we're very, very, you know, our next step up is first world currencies. So the adoption curve is very fast for something that is as nascent as Bitcoin. And it's probably because, have you guys done the clip of the guy that says it's a currency of distrust? That guy, I mean, he perfect.
Harari or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect sophistry. But I mean, it's so comical because he's almost making the damn point. Why is this so amazing? Because it's a currency of distrust. You're damn right. Because China doesn't have to trust India, nor would they ever want to trust India to do massive foreign transactions. But now they can. And now they can do it. And more importantly, a small nation like Bhutan or a small nation, like an island nation, can settle their transactions with other small island nations and not carry the risk of sending that gold on a little ship to get pirated away by actual pirates. I mean, it's just better technology all around. So, you know, it's super interesting that we are, you know, living this moment of mass adoption. We are very, very clearly starting to pick up steam on that S curve. And it'll be very interesting where the top lands.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree with that. And the S curve adoption in reference, like I think we're in the process of jumping the chasm between the early adopters to the early majority. I think that we're in the very, very first innings of that, and it's incredibly exciting to say the least. Anyways, guys, we still have a hell of a show lined up for you guys. We're going to talk to BitPedro about all the stuff that he's working on. BitPedro, I have this written down right here, turns gas into Bitcoin, or helps companies turn gas into Bitcoin. So we have a lot to cover. Stay tuned. But in the meantime, Smash the like button if you guys are enjoying the show, especially on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Smash the like button helps with the algos. I do want to give a very special shout out to our sponsor, the Orange Pill app. Stack friends who stack sats. The Orange Pill app is the Bitcoin social layer. Find local Bitcoiners, events, and merchants only on the Orange Pill app. You could scan the QR code or check the link in the video description. Join the 10,137 Bitcoiners that are currently on the app. Has a really clever filtration system, so you'll only find other Bitcoiners on the app. You won't get these messages like, if you send me one Bitcoin, I'll send you two. You'll only find high signal. You'll only find Bitcoiners on the application. And it has a really cool geographical feature as well. So if you're traveling, if you're on the move, if you came to a new city and you don't know any Bitcoiners around you, you can pull up the Orange Pill app and it will literally tell you geographically what Bitcoiners are near you. It's a great resource. I can't emphasize that enough. Me and Opti are on there. There's a Simply Bitcoin group chat. One of the best ways to reach me is by sending me a message on the Orange Pill app. So scan the QR code or check the link in the video description. All right, everybody, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about.
The Daily Culture.
All right, everybody. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, CabinRex. They are the most trusted place to buy, sell, and host mining equipment. You can check out their racks today by checking the link in the video/podcast description or scanning the QR code on your screen right now. That will take you directly to the Kaboom Racks market. That'll take you directly to the Kaboom Racks marketplace. Also, they have a special deal that's live right now. It's the Kaboom Racks instant hosting for the S19K Pro. After a one-time payment of $2,466, you'll be mining in no time. You own the miner. This is not a hash rate contract. Once the payment is confirmed and cleared, your hash rate goes immediately online. The hosting price is as low as 0.079 kilowatt hours. So guys, if you want to start instant hosting today, you want to start mining, check out Kaboom Racks. Also a great place to buy your Bitcoin miner and all that jazz. So check out Kaboom Racks today. Anyways, Bitpetro, what's up, man? Dude, I'm so hyped that I saw you at BitBlock Boom. We crossed paths. We were having a discussion. It was kind of sad that I didn't get to see Chris at BIM one day. I think I'll see him in Nashville, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, man, I just want to get into what your purpose is, why you're a Bitcoiner. What are you contributing to this space? Because this is what the culture is all about, to talk to Bitcoiners from all walks of life. So I'm going to pull up your website quick. By the way, for anyone who's not in the know, BitPetro turns gas into Bitcoin. That's what it's about. He provides energy services for Bitcoin miners. So BitPetro, why don't you go down a little bit about what that means, right? Because I pick the subjects in the numbers segment on purpose, right? In regards to all these nation states mining Bitcoin using different energy methods. Some were using hydro, some were using geothermal, some were using natural gas. So BitPetro, it's all yours.
Yeah. So first I want to plug tomorrow's event because it's in person, and I really want to focus on that type of approach.
Let's start with that before we get into the energy service that you provided to mining companies. So yes, you're a hosting.
No, well, this is very tight. It's tied. They're all one and the same.
Okay.
Yeah. So as part of what I do, I try to do like very in-person events to touch it, feel it, taste it. Right. So I run the Fort Worth Bitcoin Meetup. It's called Fort Bitcoin. As part of Fort Bitcoin, I do education for the energy industry, from energy industry individuals to energy industry individuals. So we are talking Bitcoin, but we are talking in their language. And so tomorrow's event is the fourth one of these that we host at the Petroleum Club. I bring, a sponsor, I bring a panel, and usually a pretty awesome moderator, and we get to talk about the real world application of Bitcoin mining and Bitcoin Lightning and Bitcoin transactions and Bitcoin as a store of value for these energy industries and energy components, because there is upstream, there's midstream, and there's downstream, and there are different applications for Bitcoin for each one of those sectors. So this is about kind of spreading the orange pills from within, because full bellies are open ears. And so if you come in and you are a member of the Petroleum Club, you don't pay anything. You just attend for free. And so that's really the goal, is to bounce this lunch around different petroleum clubs in the state of Texas and get to the mid-level, like, you know, managers and engineers, and really teach them the application level so that they can take it up and give that executive guy the grandiose idea that he's going to solve his company's financial troubles by monetizing his stranded gas.
Gotcha. Did we lose Chris?
I think we lost Chris.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be right back. Okay. Interesting. And for anyone who's not in the know, by the way, the event is July, May 16th, 2024. So it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Yeah.
It starts at 11:30 a.m. It's going to be at the Petroleum Club of Fort Worth at 777 Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas. You want to get your tickets, obviously. I'm going to put the link, by the way, to this event in the live chat, so you guys could check it out if you guys are in Fort Worth into this meetup. Okay, so what type of people are going to be there, DePetro? Like, what, you know, like who do you have in mind? Like who? Like, for example, if you have no background whatsoever in you know, in mining and energy and any of this stuff, is this an event you'd wanna go to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the target audience for me is not the Bitcoiners that are buying tickets. Those are the nice to have people. The target audience is those members of the Petroleum Club that are normal attendees, who are typically going to, they're going to be going to this place anyways. This is a social gathering spot for them. They're used to making continuing education courses at these events. And so we're targeting them because we want to educate them. Now, that gives us a much broader platform, because the Petroleum Club is also tied to a lot of banking, a lot of PE firms, a lot of attorney firms. And so we are covering a very wide spectrum of professionals in the energy industry. I also, because my job in the energy space also ties to land acquisitions and power acquisitions for Bitcoin miners, I also have ties to utilities that I'm bringing to these meetings, as well as ties to energy brokers and other components of the electric energy network side of life, not just the oil and gas energy network side of life. Finally, we have, you know, the actual operators that are either the miners or the oil and gas companies that are attending these events. So in the case of a miner, it might be, Chris Alfano, 360 Mining. He's going to be one of our speakers. Dan Morrison, Amalgamated Sludge, another one of our speakers. They both mine Bitcoin with oil and gas, actively do this. And so Jay Corley, my man from Digital Wildcatters, is going to be moderating the panel. So we're all oil and gas people, but we're trying to speak to our own audience, you know, the guys in the room that are Bitcoiners, as well as kind of trying to keep the language at a place where it's accessible to the oil and gas guys. So, you know, we're not going to talk about block height, and we're not going to talk about hashing algorithms. We're going to talk about dollars per MCF, and we're going to talk about timelines to deploy and bottom line economics.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no, this is a very, very, very cool stuff. And, damn, bro, I wish I was in I can't be in two places at the same time, unfortunately, but this is definitely something that I'd want to go to. I want exposure. I got into the industry via mining, and then I transitioned to media around 2020. Wish I stayed. There's a part of me that wish I stayed in mining, Media is very satisfying once you build a base, but building the base is horrific because you don't make any money for 2 years. Whereas mining, you know, it's not necessarily that you'll break. It's not necessarily true that you'll break even very quickly, but at least you have the cash flow coming in. And it's a very interesting sector that, you know, I wish I was still a little bit more involved in. Okay. So you say that you provide energy services for Bitcoin miners. Could you talk a little bit about that? Like, so what would be your traditional client? Is this an oil and gas company? Is this a Bitcoin miner that doesn't know an oil and gas company? Are you just like the guy that knows the guy that knows the guy that knows the guy that connects this guy with this guy and then that guy with that guy? What is this exactly?
Yeah. So, in the world of oil and gas, my job is considered a vice president of land. And that entails doing title research to determine the ownership of the mineral estate, not just the surface estate. And so acquiring the property, identifying the property where an oil and gas company would want to drill a well, say either through geology and geophysics, when you are doing statistical analysis, like mapping, and you're trying to reduce that down to a single number, you're essentially making heat maps. And so part of my services is taking the knowledge that I've gotten from mapping and using big data and analytics to create heat maps for oil and gas. Now I can do that for Bitcoin miners and the grid. And so what I can do is I can say, let's find the pieces of land that are cheap, that are next to substations, where the substation is far enough away from people, but close enough to a power generation facility. And so we'll break that down into individual heat maps and then restack heat maps. And then I like to call it the orange brick road.
I love it, man, dude. Okay, so you're speaking about maps. Maybe I'm gonna totally butcher this, but is this what you're referencing?
That is one of the maps that I make.
What are we looking at, dude, right now? Okay, so, and I just gotta say, why is Florida green? All right, what do you have against Florida, bro? Why is
those
Texas
are ISOs?
Blue? Okay,
yeah, those are ISOs. Those are your electric grids in the United States.
Okay. Why would someone use this map? Like, what would it be useful for? And
hang on. You're going too fast. You got to slow it down. Yeah. So the map is showing you a smorgasbord, and what it is all of the utility data for the United States energy grid. Now I am parsing a fair amount of it because of security reasons. But at the end of the day, what you're looking at is every electric network, every pipeline, every power line, every power station by size. So the symbol on the left-hand side, you see the chart, you go over to the chart,
yeah,
and scroll down a little bit, and you can see the megawatts. And so the bigger the solar farm, the bigger the symbol for the solar farm. The bigger the wind farm, the bigger the symbol for the wind farm. And so then the power lines are then the different colors, and that gives you the different size of power lines, transmission, distribution, and whatever. The same thing for the pipeline. So that all that shit that you see offshore right there, that's all natural gas and liquid pipelines that are coming off from the Gulf Coast of Mexico into Louisiana and Texas for refinement.
Nika's just jealous that Florida's green and not orange.
Now, there is a ton going on here. As you can see, one of the things that I'm showing you there is heat maps. If you zoom out right to about where you can see Texas and Florida together, you're going to see a density towards the northeast. If you just scroll up towards the northeast, right? Like that density up there, that's because there's a lot more power plants up there, because that is the need for power from those large metro areas, right? And so what you're doing there is you're saying, okay, where there is a lot of power being produced, we're going to light that up and we're going to say, that's a heat map. Now, I can take that heat map approach and give it to any specific number. Now, that could be, say, the porosity of a field or a reservoir. It could be the permeability of a reservoir. It could be the elevation of the reservoir. It could also be the distance from the power plant to the substation. Or it could also be the distance of the power plant to the substation minus the distance of that substation to a population density.
So I'm assuming that this is useful for if you're scouting for miners, right? Sorry, scouting for potential, potential right. sites. Is this Correct. What this is useful for?
This is a prospecting tool that I have built that basically allows you to prospect for the best mining sites in the lower 48.
Dude, I'm just in my head. I feel like I'm becoming Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood. Drink your milkshake. And I'm just
looking. I will drink your milkshake.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like
he's one of my heroes.
Of course he is. I'm just like looking at this and I'm like, wow, dude, like there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of things that
I take your milkshake and I drink it up.
There's a lot of opportunities that have yet to be tapped. Is that correct? Would that be a correct assumption to make?
Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, the name of the game here is that, there is in the world of oil and gas, there is the production of oil, gas, and water. Now, that gas is going to come in different forms. It's going to come in liquid forms, and it's going to come in gaseous or mixed hydrocarbon forms. What do I mean? I mean, like longer chains of hydrocarbons. So you have your heptanes and your octanes versus your hexanes, which are your really small ones, your six carbon chains. And so when you are producing this stack of things that can look like, green to brown liquidy stuff, all the way to just completely crystal clear liquid, to a natural gas stream, all of that stuff can come out of one well, including water. And so you have to separate these elements out, and then you are selling the liquids for a higher price than the gas. And so for an oil company, that roughly equates to about 80% of the profits are in the liquids, 20% of the profits are in the gas. Gas is a problem, okay? Unless you're a pure play gas company, which makes you interesting, then you're typically looking at a company that is making the majority of its income through the liquid sales side of their operations. And so from a larger play in larger basin, we're not talking about an individual well, but we're talking about the Barnett Shale or the Permian Basin. What happens is you develop the really oily stuff first. So if you think of a bullseye, we're going to go for the bullseye first because that's liquid first. And as we go out in prospect areas, we are basically getting more and more gassy zones. And so the gas to the oil ratio of that production goes higher and higher and higher to a gas associated with the oil. So especially when we went from traditional reservoirs to the shale revolution, this is true, like especially true. And so the United States has become the world's top exporter of energy thanks to this shale revolution. And in it, we have given ourselves this access to abundant, cheap, clean natural gas as an energy source. The issue is that is not how it's perceived. And so we burn it. And I literally mean we combust it. In some cases, we vent it. These are normal practices. There's nothing new about this. Like at a tank battery, like one of the companies that I was involved in and that I still kind of currently run is a detection company that does optical gas imaging. And so what that means is it looks at the absorption of energy from the air of the molecules, and it can see the invisible gas stream. And every single oil and gas tank, like a storage tank for oil, that holds oil is going to let off gas. And it does this because there's gas suspended in that oil. And so in order to not have a bomb, you have to have a little hatch that goes and farts. And so that farting is really important to oil and gas. Like, you would have bombs if you didn't have that farting. And so you have that associated natural gas leakage that you have across just everything. And then you have the associated production of flare gas, which is one part of the equation that is more of, I'm producing oil. There's not a pipeline nearby. I have to do something with the gas that comes with the oil, because the more gas that I produce, the more oil that I produce, and I want to make more money. And so what am I going to do? Burn the gas, because that's the easier way to fix the problem, rather than bringing a big expensive pipeline that costs a lot of money to get the right of ways to then put the pipeline in and then produce that for, I mean, if you guys have seen a shale production well, it's not very sexy. It just kind of goes poof. So for the production of that well, you're going to try to get the majority of that production up front. For a pipeline company, that means they're going to have very little use long-term for that asset. And they're not going to do it. So here comes Bitcoin. And it says, I don't care. Give it to me.
Amen to that. Amen, man. Bitcoin is Daniel Plainview. Anyways, guys, we are getting to the top of the hour. I do want to thank our guest, BitPetro. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really, really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, bitpetro.app is my website. Tomorrow, please come out to the meetup. Fort Bitcoin is the name of the meetup. And the Fort Worth Petroleum Club is where we're hosting it. Our meetup is every third Tuesday of the month here in Fort Worth. And then these try to be more focused around they're moving them around the state and educating the oil and gas industry from within.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, dude, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really, really appreciate it. Keep up the good fight. Keep up what you're doing. You know, energy and Bitcoin are a match made in heaven. I also want to thank my co-host today, Chris Alamo. Thank you so much for filling in for Opti. Chris, why don't you tell everybody where they can find, where people could find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, you can find me at Noster, my NIP5, or you can just find me at Chris Alamo on there, or on Twitter at Chris Alamo, and then the number 6. So stay on the good fight, stay humble, stack sats.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share Bitcoin content. Just get the message out there. Love you all. We'll be streaming live from the Canadian Bitcoin Conference. Either maybe we'll have it set up for you guys tomorrow. So we'll be streaming from the conference. But Friday for sure. But until then, guys, sit back, relax, stack some sats. And love you all. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace out, everybody.
This episode was brought to you by BitcoinWell.com on a mission to enable independence.